سلام 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 peaceful
مولاي صلي وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
مولاي صلي وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
واتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله. Have taqwa of Allah and Allah will teach you, will give you knowledge. So this means that taqwa, which is faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helps you to learn more.
From the world, darkness was gone, with salvation rising with dawn.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. All praise is due to Allah. I welcome you all to tonight's lecture will be Faith and Knowledge. And Sheikh Jafar will be giving the lecture on this topic. So before I take much of your time, inshallah, I will request Dr. Jafar Sheikh Idris to deliver the speech.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. Brothers and sisters, what is the relationship between knowledge and faith? The relationship is what is called reciprocal. First you know, then you believe and have faith. When you have faith, that faith in its turn helps you to learn more, and so on. The learning leads to belief. Belief helps you to learn. That is just my talk. Now we go into some details. Faith, iman, is not mere belief in the existence of something. For example, as a Muslim, you believe in the existence of the shaitan. Oh, but you don't say, ana mu'min, I have iman in the shaitan. Because faith is not just the belief in the existence of something. It is belief plus trust. You trust what you believe in. You believe that it's something good, that it is good for you to have this kind of belief, and so on. So these are facts. If you say that I trust this person or trust you, you must base your belief on some knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, then you don't have real belief. Many people say, I don't know, but I believe. If you don't know, don't believe. Because the belief must be based on knowledge. Now, what kind of knowledge is faith in Allah based on? I looked into so many verses of the Quran and came to you up with many examples of this. You must have some knowledge that is relevant to the attributes of Allah, or to the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, or to the prophet whom he sent, and so on. That knowledge leads you to believe and have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the first example, the most important knowledge that every human being starts with is what is called in Islam fitra. Fitra comes from a word which means the beginning, the first thing. So sometimes people translate fitra as human nature, but it doesn't mean human nature as it is understood in the English language. Fitra is the original, good human nature with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endowed human beings. So you can say in English, it is in the nature of human beings to lie or to steal. But you can't say in Arabic, it is in the fitra of human beings to lie or to steal. No. Human beings, according to the Quran, are born good. All these deviations come after. They are deviations from the fitra. And
The fitra is good because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra." Every newborn child is born in accordance with this original good fitra. And that is why some of the ulama, I think one of them was Imam Ahmad, used to say that all children are Muslims. All children are Muslims because they are still on the fitra. So if some kafirs die and they leave behind their children and they come to the Muslim world, we consider them Muslims. We don't ask them to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So it is with this that people start. At least everyone in the world knows that the world has a creator. That's why you find more than 90% of people in the world believing in the existence of the creator. When prophets come, they build on this. In fact, some people know by their own fitra, even La ilaha illallah. They know that if there is only one creator, then it is that creator alone who should be worshipped. So if you have this fitra, then a prophet comes with a message. And you see that this message says something to you which you like, which you already have in your heart, and therefore you accept it. The second kind of knowledge is knowledge about the world. We'll say, inshallah, give more examples of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find evidence for the truth of a prophetic message in something which you know in the world. You know something, and that knowledge leads you to believe that what that prophet said is true. Examples of these. People before the prophet came, there were Jews and Christians. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them in their books about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they had this knowledge. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and they saw that what their books say about him corresponds to the person whom they saw, they believed. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said their reward will be doubled, because they believed in Jesus or Moses, and now they believed in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ فَيُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ. So that those who have been given knowledge will believe in it. This verse is very clear that faith is based on knowledge. لِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. So that those who have been given knowledge know that it is the truth from your Lord, then they believe in it. Some people, for example, the Arabs to whom the Prophet ﷺ was sent, they knew about the Prophet himself. So when he came and said that he is Prophet, they said, we know this man. He doesn't tell lies. So he must be telling the truth. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent many prophets before him. So it is not strange for a person to be a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this man is very truthful, very honest, and now he is claiming that he is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That knowledge, what they knew about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, led them to believe in him. In fact, when Abu Sufyan, you remember the story of Abu Sufyan, before he became Muslim, he went and visited Heraclitus. And that man was a very wise man. It is unfortunate that he didn't become Muslim. And he asked them very significant questions. At that time, Abu Sufyan was not a Muslim. He said, did you accuse him of telling lies before he said he is a prophet? He said, no. Then that man said, he wouldn't have abstained from telling lies about human beings and then tell a lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wouldn't be truthful for 40 years and then suddenly tell the biggest lie in the world. No human being would do this. So their knowledge about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, you know that this man never read a book. He never wrote a book. So this Quran couldn't have been from his own invention. Now, this knowledge led them to believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, their knowledge of the Arabic language. These people were masters of literary style. They could easily see whether the Quran is the work of a human being or not. And this knowledge, their knowledge, unfortunately, those of us now who call themselves Arabs and who read Arabic language, we don't have this ability. But they had it. Anyone, even the Kafirs among them, used, whenever they heard the Quran, used to have the highest respect for it. So this knowledge led them to believe that the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have the example of the sorcerers. You know, those people whose story Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats in so many verses in the Quran at the time of Moses. Why did they believe? Why did they have that strong belief? And suddenly, why? Because they know what sorcery is. They knew what magic is. And they could see very clearly that what Moses did was not like what they do. This is a miracle. And this person must be a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their knowledge of magic, of sorcery, led them to believe in Musa alayhi salam. Some people have knowledge of human psychology. One Jewish person, he was a pious person. Once he saw the prophet, he accepted him as a prophet. And when he was asked why, he said, when I looked at his face, I could see that that was not the face of a liar. Just that, just by looking at his face. And he became among the best companions of the prophet. In fact, he is one of the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the good tidings that he would be in paradise. Abdullah ibn Salam.
And from the world, darkness was gone.
Dear viewers, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. May peace be on you. It's my profound pleasure to welcome all of you to watch Peace TV.
Peace TV, now also being telecast in UK and Europe. You, your friends, relatives and others can tune into Peace TV in UK and Europe. You're a bird, 1F, 1L, 28.5 degrees east, 2 by 3, vertical, symbol rate 27500, frequency 11681, and on Sky TV 823. In Asia, Middle East, Africa, and Australia, Intelsat 10, PAS 10, 68.5 degrees east, 2 by 3, vertical, symbol rate 3250, frequency 3783.25. Arabsat Badr 4, 26 degrees east, 3 by 4, vertical, symbol rate 27500, frequency 12207. Now, Peace TV being telecast worldwide. Watch it. For more information, log on to www.peacetv.org and www.peacetv.tv.
Peaceful, 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 peace.
Peace TV, the solution for humanity.
And from the world, darkness was gone.
Someone knows a bit of scientific knowledge, either about human beings or animals or nature or so, and he sees that this corresponds to what the Quran says. And I know the story of someone, but that man said, I saw him. He said that kind of knowledge was not available to people at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that kind of knowledge is nowhere to be found in any book before the Quran or after the Quran. This is something that we discovered in modern times. And we discovered it because we had the instruments by which we could discover it. At the time of Prophet Muhammad, such instruments were not available. So no human being could have known this. So he said that, I said to myself, then where did Muhammad get this knowledge from? He must have gotten it from someone who doesn't use these human instruments. And that one must be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he believed in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If someone also has knowledge of rational principles, he studies a book and he can see that there is a contradiction here, there is a contradiction there. This is his training. And he reads a book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he finds no contradiction. And he says to himself, this couldn't have been written by a human being, because no human being can write a book the size of the Quran, of the Torah, and not contradict himself. Only the Creator has this ability. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran about this, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Had this been from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would have found many contradictions therein. In the fact that there are no contradictions is itself a proof that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, someone makes careful study of the Quran as far as its compatibility with natural scientific facts. And he finds no false statements. He says to himself, this couldn't have been written by a human being, because there is no book in the world, even scientific books, from the time of the Greeks until now, even if a book is written just 100 years ago, you are bound to find in it something which has now been discovered to be false. So no human being can have nothing in his book except scientific facts. But this is what he found in the Quran. And therefore he said to himself, this couldn't be from a human being. And so on. You can multiply the examples. Now the other way around. You have now believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this belief in its turn helps you to understand more, to learn more. There are also many verses in the Quran which show this. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Have taqwa of Allah and Allah will teach you, will give you knowledge. So this means that taqwa, which is faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helps you to learn more. And there is a verse in the Quran which tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the mu'mineen, the better the iman, the more the furqan. You know what is furqan? Furqan is the ability to distinguish between truth and falsehood. And they say not only between truth and falsehood, even between shades of falsehoods, shades of truth. And this is something very important for a faqih. Huh? You want to make decision. You know, there is a rational principle, which is also an Islamic principle, that you do the lesser of two evils. Now, how do you know that this evil is lesser than that one? The more knowledge of Allah and faith in Allah you have, the more you will have this kind of ability. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ فُرْقَانًا. Remember this word. Furqan comes from word faraqa, means to separate, to distinguish. So a person who has faith in Allah is never confused. He can see that this is the truth, this is falsehood. If someone doesn't have faith or he denies the truth, then he will lose this kind of ability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Sulaiman, I'm just giving you examples. You can multiply them. You can read the Quran now and find, you can add to these examples that I gave you. فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ. And we made Sulaiman understand it. So this means that this understanding came to Sulaiman as a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not just by his own ijtihad, his own thinking, his own pondering. No, it was a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Musa, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. When he became mature and strong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he gave him knowledge. Allah gave him knowledge, and then he said, كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. It is in this way that we reward those who do good. So if you do good, you can be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you by giving you knowledge. Also, Allah said about Ibrahim, you know, you remember the argument that he had with the king who claimed to be the creator and so on. And Ibrahim had a strong argument against him, and he was dumbfounded. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that this is a bounty. This is a ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Ibrahim. And this argument itself is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this happened to many good Muslims in the history of Islam. It was not because just they were intelligent or that they just because they were thoughtful, but because also they had taqwa. They had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah strengthens them, helps them by giving them good arguments against their opponents or enemies. Faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also helps you to think, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he sent this Quran not just for us to recite it. Many people now do this, just recite the Quran. I mean, whether they speak Arabic or not, they recite it without understanding it. This was not the purpose of the Quran. It is said that Abdullah ibn Umar told some of his companions that he told them, you are now living in at an age where there are few qurra. You know qari? Qari, someone who learned the Quran. Few hafiz, as we say it. Few hafiz and many fuqaha. Many people who understand. And there will come a time when there will be many hafiz and few fuqaha. And it is better the time at which there are more fuqaha and less hafiz is better than the time at which there are many hafiz but few fuqaha. And it is said also that the hafiz, that the qurra, were members of Umar's shura. And I tell people, these were not qurra in the modern sense, huh? in our sense, because if they just knew the Quran by heart, they wouldn't have helped him. Because he wants people to tell him, don't do this because Allah says so and so. Do this because Allah says so and so. People who know the Quran by heart, yes, but who understand the Quran and who can quote the verses of the Quran easily and therefore help the Khalifa. Now, if a person has this faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have taqwa, this helps you also to think, to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do. Allah said that we must ponder over the verses of the Quran. Compare this verse with that verse. Compare this verse with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think always about what you read. So if you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart becomes pure, you will not be distracted, you will concentrate, and this will help you to ponder over the verses of the Quran and come up with new information and use the Quran to solve the problems that your people face. This is the purpose of the Quran. The Quran is a cure. So if there are so many problems in your society and you don't understand the Quran, I mean, you can't use the Quran to cure those ills, those problems. So taqwa helps you to do this, inshallah. Now, I conclude by something that is just the opposite of this. That a person who has no faith in Allah,
And by the way, I would like to clarify something.
There's a difference between a kafir and non-Muslim.
Be careful.
Not every non-Muslim is kafir. Every kafir is non-Muslim. But not every non-Muslim is kafir. What is kafir? A kafir is someone who denies the truth. So for someone to be a kafir, he has to know the truth. If he doesn't know the truth, then you can't call him kafir.
Pearls of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Abdullah bin Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that Allah's messenger, peace be upon him, said, pay to the laborer his wages before his sweat becomes dry. Sunan Ibn Majah, Volume 3, Kitab al-Ruhun, Book of Mortgages, Chapter 4, Hadith number 2443.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is your brother Ja'far Idris, wishing all viewers of Peace TV Eid Mubarak.
A friendly message by Dr. Zakir. The most profitable business.
Would you like to know the business in which you earn the maximum profit? The secret is given in the glorious Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 261. The example of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is like a seed of grain, which grows 7 spikes. In each spike is 100 grains. And Allah multiplies his reward to whom he wills. If you spend your wealth in the way of Allah, you'll get a return of 700 times. In business terminology, you'll get a profit of 70,000%. Is there any business you know of in which you'll get a better return? Invest today in the way of Allah.
Peace TV, the solution for humanity.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the mu'mineen, the better the iman, the more the furqan. You know what is furqan? Furqan is the ability to distinguish between truth and falsehood. And they say not only between truth and falsehood, even between shades of falsehood, shades of truth. And this is something very important for a faqih. Huh? You want to make decision. You know, there is a rational principle, which is also an Islamic principle, that you do the lesser of two evils. Now, how do you know that this evil is lesser than that one? The more knowledge of Allah and faith in Allah you have, the more you will have this kind of ability. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ فُرْقَانًا. Remember this word. Furqan comes from word faraqa, means to separate, to distinguish. So a person who has faith in Allah is never confused. He can see that this is the truth, this is falsehood. If someone doesn't have faith or he denies the truth, then he will lose this kind of ability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Sulaiman, I'm just giving you examples. You can multiply them. You can read the Quran now and find, you can add to these examples that I gave you. فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ. And we made Sulaiman understand it. So this means that this understanding came to Sulaiman as a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not just by his own ijtihad, his own thinking, his own pondering. No, it was a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Musa, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. When he became mature and strong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he gave him knowledge. Allah gave him knowledge, and then he said, كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. It is in this way that we reward those who do good. So if you do good, you can be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you by giving you knowledge. Also, Allah said about Ibrahim, You know, you remember the argument that he had with the king who claimed to be the creator and so on. And Ibrahim had a strong argument against him and he was dumbfounded. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this is a bounty. This is a ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Ibrahim. And this argument itself is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this happened to many good Muslims in the history of Islam. It was not because just they were intelligent or just because they were thoughtful, but because also they had taqwa. They had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah strengthens them, helps them by giving them good arguments against their opponents or enemies. Faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also helps you to sin. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He sent this Quran not just for us to recite it. Many people now do this. Just recite the Quran. I mean, whether they speak Arabic or not, they recite it without understanding it. This was not the purpose of the Quran. It is said that Abdullah ibn Umar told some of his companions that he told them, you are now living at an age where there are few qurra. You know qari? Qari, someone who learned the Quran. Few hafiz, as we say it. Few hafiz and many fuqaha. Many people who understand. And there will come a time when there will be many hafiz and few fuqaha. And it is better the time at which there are more fuqaha and less hafiz is better than the time at which there are many hafiz but few fuqaha. And it is said also that the hafiz, that the qurra, were members of Umar's shura. And I tell people, these were not qurra in the modern sense, huh? in our sense, because if they just knew the Quran by heart, they wouldn't have helped him. Because he wants people to tell him, don't do this because Allah says so and so. Do this because Allah says so and so. People who know the Quran by heart, yes, but who understand the Quran and who can quote the verses of the Quran easily and therefore help the Khalifa. Now, if a person has this faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have taqwa, this helps you also to think, to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do. Allah said that we must ponder over the verses of the Quran. Compare this verse with that verse. Compare this verse with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think always about what you read. So if you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart becomes pure. You will not be distracted. You will concentrate. And this will help you to ponder over the verses of the Quran and come up with new information. And use the Quran to solve the problems that your people face. This is the purpose of the Quran. The Quran is a cure. So if there are so many problems in your society and you don't understand the Quran, I mean, you can't use the Quran to cure those ills, those problems. So taqwa helps you to do this, inshallah. Now, I conclude by something that is just the opposite of this. That a person who has no faith in Allah. And by the way, I would like to clarify something. There's a difference between a kafir and non-Muslim. Be careful. Not every non-Muslim is kafir. Every kafir is non-Muslim. But not every non-Muslim is kafir. What is kafir? A kafir is someone who denies the truth. So for someone to be a kafir, he has to know the truth. If he doesn't know the truth, then you can't call him kafir. Kafir of what? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes only those people who knew the truth, but who denied it. It doesn't punish people who didn't know the truth. This applies also to Muslims. If you are a good Muslim and you are living in a society where there is little knowledge and you denied something that is in the Quran or the Sunnah because you didn't know, will Allah punish you? No. Or someone denied a hadith of the Prophet because he didn't know that this was a hadith, or because someone told him or her that this hadith is weak, so he denied it. He didn't deny it as a hadith of the Prophet. He thought that this was something, statement made by someone, and he denied it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not punish anyone for something that he did not do intentionally. And also, if someone had distorted knowledge of Islam, someone like what they write about Islam now in the world, if all that someone knew about Islam is that these people are terrorists, once you are told that Yusuf Estes is a Muslim, you be careful. He might be carrying a gun. And he doesn't care to kill children, women, weak people, innocent people. He can just throw a bomb at and he doesn't care. So, is this a kind of religion in which a person would believe? No. If I am told that this is Islam, and I will not believe in, because what I denied would not be the message that was sent to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I denied what I was told is Islam. Now we come to the real kafirs. A person who knew the truth, but who denied it. You know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes them even in this world? One kind of punishment is by making them blind to the truth. At first he saw the truth. He denied it. Then Allah punishes him by sealing his heart. After that, he cannot even see the truth. This is a punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us an example of the town of Lot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ أَتَوْا عَلَى الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي أُمْطِرَتْ مَطَرَ السَّوْءِ. They passed by the city, the town, on which Allah sent harmful rain. And then Allah says, أَفَلَمْ يَكُونُ يَرَوْنَهَا. Didn't they see it? They see the village, but they don't get the lesson. And this happens to many people. The problem is not just to see the external facts. The problem is to draw the right lesson from what you see. So if a person denies the truth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprives him or her of this kind of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُوا. We seal their heart. We put their hearts in something that hides them so that the truth doesn't enter, doesn't come to them. And Allah doesn't create any person in this way. Creates every person with an open heart, with the ability to know the truth. But if they deny the truth after they have known it, then Allah punishes them by making it impossible for them or difficult for them to understand the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said also, أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَأَلُهَا. What is the matter with these people? Are their hearts locked? And by the way, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about hearts, we are not talking just about the physical heart. Because we know, we understand, we judge, we love, and so on, not by our body, but by our soul. So when the Quran talks about the heart, he's referring to the soul behind the heart. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولك. السلام
عليكم. From the world, darkness was gone.
The best time for a person who's fasting to make dua is while breaking his fasting. There is nothing that draws you closer to Allah better than obligatory acts. I want to fast every single day of the year. This is not acceptable. In Ramadan, there is Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny. So one night is equivalent to 1,000 months, whatever you do in that night.
Ramadan, fiqh issues.
Pearls of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
narrated on the authority of Jabir bin Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, that Allah's Messenger, peace be upon him, said, "He who shows no mercy to the people, Allah, the Exalted and Glorious, does not show mercy to him." Sahih Muslim, Volume 4, Book of Virtues and Good Manners, Chapter 966, Hadith Number 5737.
Yasir Fazaga.
Islam is not one horizontal line where everything is equally the same. That is not Islam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the greatest liberator that humanity has ever known, that humanity will ever know. We are the best ummah that was erected for the welfare of mankind.
Don't live today as if there's no tomorrow.
Poverty is never celebrated in Islam. As Muslims, self-pity does not exist. Watch your character, that becomes your destiny.
Watch Yasir Fazaga in Here to Hereafter.
From the world, darkness was gone.
Now we have a Q&A session. Anyone interested in asking questions, they can line up to ask the questions, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. My question is, what about the ayats called mutashabiha that contradicts with the common sense?
There are no verses in the Quran which contradict people's common sense. But some people find difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not say something which he knows cannot be understood by anyone and which will cause difficulty for people. That's why some of the ulama said that the mutashabih is something relative. What is mutashabih to you may not be mutashabih to me. One thing. Secondly, it depends also on what you mean by mutashabih. Mutashabih means something that on the face of it attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something which can be attributed to human beings only. So mutashabih means it looks like, but that is not what is meant. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as having hands or eyes, or that even in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he smiles and so on, some ulama call these mutashabih because they might give some people the impression that now we are likening Allah to human beings. And that's why if Allah says قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد, there's no problem. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there is nothing like him. So if he says nothing is like him, then if he says he has eyes, then you interpret this in the light of that one. Allah said he has eyes, but he said that there is nothing like him. So this means that the eyes he has are not like human eyes. How do they look like? We don't know. Because we don't know how Allah himself looks like. There is nothing in our world to compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. We don't know how he looks like. We only know his attributes. And now we have come to know that he has this attribute of eye, hearing, so on, but that these are not like those of human beings. And as one alim said, and this sometimes applies even to created things. If you say the eye of the needle, it's not like Professor Astor's eye. The eye of the needle is something different from his eye. So if someone says the eye of the needle, you don't say, "Oh, this my man is going to, how can a needle have an eye like this?" Or if you say something has legs, it can be a table, in Arabic at least, I don't know in English. But the legs of the table are not like my own legs. So the attribute depends on the thing to which you are ascribing that. If you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know that his attributes are different from the attributes of human beings.
This is regarding science and Islam. We are a team of three or four people working on potential energy and electricity while standing in Salah in line, whether we should touch our shoulders or whether we should touch our toes, or whether if there is a gap in between the potential energy, the continuity of the electricity goes off. But we have a small doubt within ourselves. Like it is always, whenever there is a new invention in science, ulamas keep criticizing on it. They recline on their chairs and say it is not to be used. Like a small invention like a TV. I wanted to ask you whether these ulamas will give us a chance to distinguish to ourselves for the latest inventions on science.
Everything that science can do, you accept. No people say that, not even Muslims. There are many people in the West now who are against cloning. Scientists can't do that. But they ask, is this ethical? And I'm sure that the ulama who talk about television, they don't mean just this instrument. That, they don't mean the hardware. They are talking about what you see in it. And they have, you can't say they are wrong all the time. A lot of damage has come as a result of television. So if someone says, I don't want to have television in my home, and I know some people who are non-Muslims in the United States who don't have TV. So when he talks about science, he's not saying that everything that science can invent, you use. Otherwise, you use hydrogen bomb.
I have a doubt about free will and predestination. They seem to contradict each other. So could you tell me which is it?
From my experience, I prefer to answer these questions to the person who asks, because every person has his own problem about this. So I prefer if the sister tells me what exactly is her problem. And generally speaking, there is no contradiction. Because predestination is according to us, there are two things which are predestined. One on which you have no control. And Allah will not ask you about that. He will not ask you, why are you born in India? Or why is your color like this? Or why is your language this? Because why did you die at the... These are things which he decided, and you will not be asked about this. So there is no problem. There are things which you do voluntarily. You will be asked about those. Now, what is predestination here? Predestination here only means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after giving you the freedom to choose, He knew. How can you not know? He knew what you are going to do. According to one companion of the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what we would do, and He told His knowledge to be a book. قَالَ لِعِلْمِهِ كُنْ كِتَابًا فَكَانَ كِتَابًا. So they're predestined in this manner. It doesn't mean, predestination doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even before He creates us, and even before He knows what our choice will be, He will just say, these people will go to hellfire, whatever they do. And these people will go to paradise, whatever they do. This is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is wise, Allah is merciful. So predestination here is related to the human will. So there is no contradiction between the two.
Assalamu alaikum. Some Muslims weigh the hadith with common sense and sometimes rejects the hadith if it does not fit into their own sense.
This which contradicts common sense. But if someone judges a hadith like this, tell them to judge everything like this. He reads something about black holes, and he says, this doesn't make sense to me. I reject, I don't think that there are black holes. He reads something else in science, that there can be cloning. How can there be cloning? This doesn't make sense. I don't believe in it. So there's a difference between just having your own opinion and prejudice and basing your judgment on ignorance and basing it on real common sense. When you say that this doesn't make sense, it means either that it is contradictory. There's a contradiction in it. If something is contradictory, it doesn't make sense. You can't say Yusuf is from Texas, but he's from the Sudan. I mean, it doesn't mean. That's the contradiction. If there is a falsehood in it, that doesn't make sense. If it contradicts something which the Prophet himself already said, or the Quran said, that doesn't make sense. So it depends on what you mean when you say that something doesn't make sense. And I said to many people, why don't you say the same thing about the Quran? Because I'm sure that there are verses in the Quran which, if they were in a hadith, someone would have said, this doesn't make sense. How can an ant tell other ants, go to your homes because the army of Sulaiman is coming? Someone would have said, that doesn't make sense. How can an ant talk? And if it talked, how can Sulaiman hear an ant talking? How loud can the voice of an ant be? We can hardly see an ant. So how can we hear the voice of an ant? How can a bird talk and talk about Tawheed? Like the oboe, it talks about Tawheed. So, and it takes a message from Sulaiman. How can someone bring a whole throne in one moment? Bring it from Yemen to, where was Sulaiman? In Jerusalem or Bayt al-Maqdis also. How can you do it? Ooh.